This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. A recent story in Bridge contains some bad news on education. Test scores in the Allegan School District show that students did not make enough progress from third to eighth grade. In fact, a study by Stanford University shows the students in Allegan made only 3.5 years of academic progress over those 5 years. The worst news is that there are similar numbers for dozens of districts across Michigan. Bridge senior writer Ron French wrote the story on what's called the state's malaise reflected in test scores, and another on the disappointing results of efforts to improve early reading. Ron French, thank you for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
How bad are those numbers on educational performance in Michigan, the ones that I referenced, in particular the Allegan School District?
Well, Allegan's numbers are bad. For example, what the Stanford study did is they followed one specific class of students to see how they progressed. In third grade, a group of students in third grade in Allegan Public Schools, when they were in third grade, they actually tested above average. An average third grader in the state should have scored, would have been measured at a level of 3.0 for third grade. Allegan third graders at the time were at 3.3. So they were ahead of where they were supposed to be. They were in the 74th percentile in state. Fantastic, right? Well, those same kids 5 years later, because this test sort of followed these kids, the same group of kids 5 years later when they got to eighth grade, where they should have been, if they're following the state average, should have averaged 8.0, they were at 6.8. They had, in essence, had lost 1.2 years of grade level of knowledge from the average Michigan student. And even farther, because they were ahead in third grade. And Allegan did have some issues, but the reason we focused on them was just to give an example of the fact that there are dozens of school districts out there, Gordon, around the state that are having the same issue. Overall, the state progresses students at about one grade per year in knowledge, but some are not. And we felt this sort of, by focusing on one school district, we felt we were giving people a window into the world of the malaise that is out there in Michigan schools, that as a state, we are really not doing what we need to do to educate our kids to the level that kids are getting in other states.
So just to be fair here to Allegan for a moment, what we're saying here is that maybe while their score stands out somewhat, they're not an outlier in this particular realm of academic performance, that they fall within a fairly typical sort of range for a lot of districts in Michigan?
They are a bit of an outlier, Gordon. I mean, they certainly have some issues. But to be fair to them, since these results came out, since the study came out, which has ended a few years ago, Allegan's scores have increased. They realized that there were some issues in the schools. They've been working like the devil to improve things, and their scores are about around average for the state now, which is a fantastic improvement. But yes, you are absolutely right. It's not as if we fix Allegan, we fix Michigan's problems. There are issues around the state that we need to talk about.
And one of those issues is in a companion story, which you've written about reading among third graders, which the state has been working to try and improve. But what's happened?
Yeah, this is a very sobering story. Educators and researchers believe, from looking at data and following kids through their educational careers in K-12, that third grade reading, how well you read as a third grader, determines how well you do for the rest of your career in school, and how well you do in school determines how well you do in life. So not only Michigan, but around the nation, states have focused on trying to improve third grade reading. If we can get kids up to reading a third grade level in third grade, their chances of success just skyrocket. Okay, so that's the background on this. So the state began sinking money into third grade reading 3 years ago. But we've invested $80 million over 3 years across the state. and test scores have actually gone down. 3 years ago, when we started sinking money in it, 50% of our kids were in third grade were proficient in reading. Now, and kids then the following year, only 46% were proficient. The following year, 44% were proficient. We're going the wrong direction. And what makes it doubly bad for Michigan is we also passed a law 2 years ago that kicks in the 2019 to 2020 school year, in which when you get to third grade, if you're not reading at grade level or within 1 year of grade level, you flunk. Okay. And that's never been done before. But we're saying, hey, we are going to invest in this to try to get kids to read better. But if you can't read, we're going to hold you back in third grade till you can read. Okay. That's okay. Well, it makes sense in from a legislator's point of view. But when you look in a classroom and the test scores are going down, let me give you an example of this. Currently, one out of 150 third graders are retained in class and are not advanced to fourth grade. Okay. Under the current tests, our best estimate is one in three would be held back if these test scores do not turn around.
And that has all sorts of implications for schools as they try to budget, allocate classroom size. All sorts of things are going to be impacted by that if, in fact, we hit this point and these third grade reading scores don't improve.
It's incredibly well intentioned. It's like, let's create a sense of urgency to make sure these kids are reading. But there are two things there. One, as you said, Gordon, as far as the economics of this, if you hold a kid back, and so they're basically going to be in school an additional year, well, think about it. The state spends, about $8,000 a year per student. So every student you hold back a year, well, eventually you're going to spend another $8,000 on them. And every bit of research out there indicates that retaining kids in grade decreases their chances of success. It decreases their chances of graduating. It decreases their chances of being successful once they graduate. Actually, there's a study that shows that it increases the chances of early death for some reason. So there are a lot of reasons to try to avoid this. And so there is a sense of urgency out there to try to get these kids to grade level in reading. It's just we haven't hit upon how to do that yet.
We'll come back to reading in a little bit, but as we look at these numbers for the overall educational performance and the progress that kids are making between third and eighth grade, are there some commonalities among the districts that are having problems? Or, does it happen to wealthy school districts and, poor school districts that are overwhelmingly white, school districts with large minority populations? Is there anything in there to try and unpack that says these certain districts are likely to have more problems?
Yeah, this is one of the more disturbing things about this. The reading scores have gone down across the board. Virtually every school district in the state have seen their scores have gone down. Let me give you some examples demographically. White students in Michigan, their scores have decreased in reading proficiency. The percent of white students who are proficient in third grade reading has decreased from 58% to 52%. Black students from 23% to 19%. Hispanic, 37 to 32. Poorer kids, economically disadvantaged, have gone from 35 to 29. And you think, okay, the rich kids would be doing fine, right? Well, the wealthier kids, the percentage of those that are proficient have gone down from 66% to 60%. So everyone is going down. And that's the scary thing. We can't point to one thing and say, aha, this is where we need to focus our efforts.
Are there any districts which seem to be immune at all? Or is, again, like you said, is it even the wealthiest, the best districts in the state, as we would normally consider them, are also having these same problems?
There are individual pockets, and most of it has to do not with the amount of money being spent. It has to do with, and unfortunately, a lot of it if you talk to Amanda Price from over your neck of the woods there, the former legislator is very good-hearted who helped sponsor the bill to on the third grade reading to hold kids back if they're not reading it at grade level.
She's from the Holland area.
She is from the Holland area, right. Absolutely. And She still is very involved in these efforts, and she finds that those schools that are doing well, it has to do with just individual leaders in those schools taking upon themselves and making this an effort, a focus. And so, you know, it's hard to scale up. But what we're finding on the other end of it is some of the issues that are a problem is that, one, the amount of money that's been spent on it is one-third as much as Florida is spending on it per student on early reading. So, yes, we've spent $80 million over 3 years, but it sounds like a lot of money. But when you get down to these individual districts, a good example is Oakland County Intermediate School District, you know, one of the biggest counties in the state with one of the largest number of schools they work with. The amount of money they got for early reading intervention was enough to hire 3 part-time reading specialists who travel between schools. So when you think about the size of Oakland County and you think about the size of other counties around the state and the other school districts, how much money are they going to be able to get to actually make a difference? And the other thing that that goes along with that is there isn't, if you go from district to district, different schools are doing different things to try to address the issue. Everyone's sort of like figuring it out on their own. And so you're going to find some that might work, but others that aren't. So there's not maybe enough strategy at a state level to figure out how to address this problem.
In terms of academic progress, as you mentioned, Allegan has made some progress from where they were with that number that stood out in the Stanford study. So is it possible that maybe we will see those numbers come up in other parts of the state, that other districts which have struggled will also see their test scores will improve?
That's absolutely possible. The Michigan Department of Education believes that it's too early to tell whether the efforts we are making to improve early literacy are working. That they think that this is a long-term thing. It's a marathon, not a sprint, and they're working a lot with the youngest kids in their schools, and that perhaps they have not progressed to third grade where you're going to see these results. So we don't know. That's the hope, a lot of people said hope is not a strategy. So I think there's probably a need for the state to be addressing this with more money and more statewide strategy.
What are some of the ripple effects of this, Ron, in terms of what it means for other aspects of life? Of course, you know, it's a big deal to these students who are in school right now. It's a big deal to their families. But, you know, what are some of the other implications for, say, Michigan's economy?
Oh yeah, absolutely, and that's the long term impact here that we're talking about, Gordon. It's if you or I do not have kids who are in third grade, it's like, well, what difference does this make? Well, because third grade reading and early literacy matter so much in your success later in life, this affects how many kids are going to go to college. Kids who end up with a 4-year degree as opposed to a high school diploma end up earning $800,000 more in their lifetime in Michigan. So that's, they have a better life, and that $800,000 more means more taxes that are being collected by the state, which means more potholes are being filled, which means, frankly, that we can spend more money on our schools to improve our schools. Which, if you look at Amazon, one of the reasons that it's believed that they did not come to Michigan for their second headquarters was because we do not have the talent base for that. And it's not as if they're saying we don't have enough high school kids who want to be plumbers. It's that there aren't enough kids with college degrees that can fill these jobs. So, yes, it has a huge impact both in economic development, in the taxes that are collected, which means how much services our government can give us, and then, frankly, for individual lives. I consider this both an economic issue and a moral issue. We want our kids to do as well as possible in school so they have as good of lives as they could.
So as you said, Michigan might have put more money into early reading. Perhaps they've put some more money in other aspects of education, but they still trail other states. At the same time, if you're going to make an argument now for even more money, I can imagine a state lawmaker reading this headline on the story in Bridge. Michigan spent $80 million to improve early reading. Scores went down. And saying, you know, we already did put more money in and we didn't get the results that we wanted. We didn't even get close to the results we wanted. We didn't even make progress. So I guess, you know, is there someone out there to make that argument that, yes, we need more money and the money that we have put in so far is just a down payment?
Right. Yeah. And that is something I suspect will be brought up next time that there was a request for money for early literacy. The argument I think is made if you want a Tesla and you walk into a dealership and give them $1,000, you're not getting a Tesla. You're getting a broken down old junker. That you can say, well, I spent money. Why didn't I get a Tesla? Well, if you want the best results, it just sometimes takes an investment. But it's not only about money. When we talk to, especially if you talk to Education Trust Midwest, a great organization that does a lot of work in this area, they will make an argument that yes, a more investment could help, but just as important as the money is what we are doing with that money. That we have to look to make sure that we are using research-based, evidence-based, with good results sort of policies for teaching kids to read. A lot of schools are still using the same sort of curriculum for teaching kids to read that we were using 20 or 30 years ago. And there's been a lot of research since then about how kids learn. And we need to update that curriculum, not just in individual school districts, but across the state.
And as you said, the school districts right now are a bit on their own here in figuring out how to meet the standards the state has put out there. Is one possibility that maybe there needs to be a reevaluation of best practices and maybe examine some of the districts which have shown some improvement?
Absolutely, Gordon. I mean, you know, there are great examples of schools and school districts across the state that are doing a fantastic job with their kids, that are taking kids where they are, whether they're from rich neighborhoods or poor neighborhoods, and moving them along and making them successful. And in a lot of cases, they are doing things that are scalable. It's not always just because you have a dynamic elementary school principal. Sometimes they are using curriculum or they're using strategies that can be successful in other places. So we need to be looking at our own success stories and figuring out how to implement them in other places.
Ron French is senior writer for Bridge. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
The stories on the lack of academic progress in Michigan schools and in the efforts to improve early reading can be found at bridgemi.com and through a link at wmuk.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.